Hey everyone, we want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt's as the company who makes those rad all over print button downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They of course have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts, they do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Hello there, and welcome to Thank the Maker, a podcast about heroes, princesses, scoundrels, hokey religions, ancient weapons, and all things Star Wars. I'm Adam Russell.
Hey, Adam. I'm Nick. What's happening?
Holy technical difficulties there, Watto. It's Mike Forrester.
That one was on me.
Well, you know what? It's just like Adam's in a hotel room. You're on tour. You're almost done with tour. You're fighting through it, man. You're fighting.
What I was just saying on Instagram Live is that technology forces you to become a boomer. That was just so boomery, you know?
It was. But on the positive, we're almost going to have like the whole group back together. Ryan Key is out with a sickness. It's 2024. We still have these kind of sicknesses going on. It's just a disaster. But look at us. Here we are talking about Star Wars yet again.
We're doing it. We're doing it up. We're making it happen. We're making the best of a complex, ongoing series of weird situations.
I love that for us. We're fighting through it. Finn is here. I hope you're all watching on YouTube Live. Finn is here.
Finn, say something.
Finn the dog.
Here we go. Let's see. Give the people what they want, Nick.
Still working on his English.
He got a haircut today. Actually, I got a haircut today, too.
Very nice.
You just can't see it because I wanted to wear this Roosevelt's hat.
It looks nice. You look great.
We're very impressed. Oh, so you got new Roosevelt stuff in the mail.
Ooh.
This new performance hoodie that looks like the Death Star, the surface of the Death Star. And they put out three dad hats. This one also comes in khaki, and then they have one with R2 on it. So
I love that.
Dad hats are my thing, and I'm so happy that they make dad hats now.
You are a dog dad. You're eligible.
Look at this guy.
That's wonderful. So a couple things. We could get to the top of the hour, of course. Speaking of all things excitement, we are very, very close to selling the most amount of tickets we've ever sold at Mosh Eisley.
That's a fact.
Can we talk about this for a second?
Yeah.
Any day now, it will be officially the biggest Mosh Eisley that we have ever thrown.
Thrown in bows.
So if you are at MegaCon, we will be there hanging out. It will be super fun. I think we're probably going to be lurking a little bit around the Roosevelt's booth. That's to be certain. Is there anything that you guys are like looking? They posted the schedule today, which is pretty exciting. Have you guys had a chance to like look through it yet? There's a lot of people there.
I have not.
I have not looked. I'm very focused on Mosh Eisley right now. I'm out there trying to sell tickets.
We appreciate you, Nick. Every time. I feel like this one, based on I think for people who think about Mosh Eisley, they think about what is the thing they get, right? And for us, it looks like we're up there having fun with everyone, and we're listening to music of our youths and doing it with lightsabers. These things are all true, absolutely. But what you don't see is a ton of hard work that like goes into all the coordination, doing all this stuff. I'm making all the merch. We're just making sure it goes to the printers, all this. It is like full on a coordinated effort that takes months and months of planning, months and months of work. So for us, the week before Mosh Eisley is equally just as stressful, but it's also incredibly relieving because we're always blown away by how hard people show up for it. And the costumes we've seen already are amazing. Nick and I are planning something very special, which is really fun. Wasted Fett hooking us up with something very cool. And we have some amazing sponsors too that are kicking in to help us with this.
Who are they, Mike?
Super excited to have Crafted Cores, who sponsored our first ever Mosh Eisley in Anaheim, which is awesome. If you're in the Orlando area and you've been to Galaxy's Edge and you make one of the Savvy's lightsabers, you can use their kyber crystals, and they have all different kinds to put into your blade, and you can change the sounds, change the colors. It's pretty amazing. So Crafted Cores is going to be there with a bunch of new products. And then we also have our friends Emma at Gabbergreet. She's going to be there, and she does an amazing job too. She does a lot of like Denizen, Scoundrel, custom Star Wars stuff. Her stuff is amazing. So follow her on Gabbergreet. She's also her first ever sponsor of Mosh Eisley this year. So all in all, it's like, it's going to be amazing. I'm very, very geeked about this and doing it together. And then we also get to hang and have a little mini park day on Sunday for some of us who can.
I love when we get to hang.
It's the best. What are you most excited about? What does this one feel different, Nick? You weren't at the last one before.
Sure was. Oh, before New York.
Well, yeah, no, yeah, I know. Yeah. But you were in New York, but you weren't in our last biggest one.
I mean, I'm interested to see, you know, the show we're putting on, which is great. And I just, with everything in life, I'm always looking for progress and the future. And I want this to be the best one. I know it'll be the biggest one, but I know how much preparation goes into it. So I'm looking forward to making sure everyone there has a good time, and including us. I want us to have a good time and not be like stressed out like we maybe have been a little bit in the past. But specifically, yeah, I'm interested. I'm excited to see the how the story plays out, the little story that we got going on.
Yeah, I'm only having a mild, continuous, month-long panic attack about the whole thing. So Should be sick.
That's what it's like.
Yeah, that's
Mosh Eisley. It ain't all fun and games. It's a lot of stress.
Proper Mosh Eisley for sure. So
you know what? Also, I'm really interested to see, Mike. You did such a good job designing all the merch. We have one new merch design that is so good, and I'm so excited for everyone to see it.
I'm excited for you to see it as well.
Things are coming. Things are happening.
All right, let's talk about something really cool and unexpected that we got yesterday. Yeah, Monday at the time of this recording.
Mm-hmm. Thank goodness.
We're all talking about what's up with new Star Wars content in 2024 with the strikes. What happened? Where are we? Do we have to come up with, you know, multiple months of topics as a podcast? Nope. Surprise, out of nowhere, Monday morning drops the Bad Batch Season 3 trailer. Not just the Season 3 trailer, but the series finale.
Ooh, baby.
Trailer.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
It's super sad. Like, considering how heavy we got invested in the Clone Wars, there were 7 seasons, some of them a little goofy in between there with the strikes and all that, and not sure where things were going to happen. But, like, the fact that we're getting 3 seasons and it's done kind of makes me a little sad to know that, like, these stories are going to at least be buttoned up this way. But I'm hoping in true Star Wars fashion, we keep some ends open, please. Please. I'm asking.
Yeah.
Well, here's what we know about the season compared to the others. We'll do a quick rundown of the rollout timeline, and then we'll get into what actually happened in the trailer and give our reactions and so on. So 3 episode premiere, February 21st. This is a 15 episode season. We had 16 the first two. So, you know, just one fewer, but who knows what the run times are. It could be the same amount of time. Who knows? We'll find out. We have the episode titles already. We have the full schedule here. So like I said, February 21st, 3 episode premiere. Episode 1 is called Confined. Episode 2, Paths Unknown. And episode 3, Shadows of Tantus.
Ooh.
Nice.
I'm going through this. I don't know if you're going to read all of them, but my first question reading these titles, do you think any of these are going to be like Adventure of the Week?
They, none of them seem like they would be, I can't really, like, how would infiltration and an extraction be a adventure of the week? You know, like this seems like a lot of meat on the bones here, which is excellent.
The only one I can think of might be episode 4, A Different Approach.
Might just be in the title right there.
The next week, episode 5, The Return. And then March 13th, 6 and 7, we're going to get, you know, a double episode week. Infiltration and Extraction, like Nick said. Episode 8, Bad Territory, just a week later. And then we follow every week throughout. Episode 8, Bad Territory. Episode 9, The Harbinger. Interesting. April 13th, episode 10 and 11, Identity Crisis and Point of No Return. So heavy. So many implications. Episode 12 on April 10th, Juggernaut. Episode 13 on April 17th, Into the Breach. Episode 14 on April 24th, Flash Strike. And wrapping up before May the 4th, on May 1st, the series finale, episode 15, The Cavalry Has Arrived.
So even just going off this and, you know, for a podcast that never speculates, we certainly are going to speculate. But I think there's something very peculiar about the fact that they're giving us a 3-episode premiere, right? Which I know that in summer, like, they dropped all of Marvel's Echo at once. Sometimes some internet neckbeards will say that's a sign that they don't have confidence in it. They just want to get it out there, whatever.
They know what they're talking about.
3 episodes compared to 2 episodes of when season 2 came out, and season 1 did the same thing, I believe. Mm. They're almost intentionally making it so that it doesn't end on May the 4th.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I really feel like this is pacing to have hopefully another big thing, whether it's maybe it's even like Ahsoka behind the scene, you know, Ahsoka gallery or something, you know, come out on May the 4th.
Right.
Hopefully that's because this is the first time they've done 2 other mid-season double episodes, right?
Right.
Yeah.
There's two weeks where it's double episode. Right. So it's, that seems like on purpose.
It's odd. You know what I mean? I think too, you know, there is some speculation, of course, that we knew that we're getting Tales of the Jedi season 2. Could that drop on May the 4th? Mm. You know, we're going to get into the trailer a little bit, but most importantly, we have to look at what May the 4th is, right? It is a very special day for Star Wars fans and for a lot of people, but it's also, we have a lot of time until then, and we know that we're supposed to get, in this year, the year of our Lord Qui-Gon Jinn, 2 episodes of live action something. I believe we're supposed to get behind the scenes of Ahsoka. Is Ahsoka going to show up in the Bad Batch? Like, we have all of these things can be true. It's just very particular. It's very odd to me that, like, they're giving us big chunks of episodes. And is the finale also going to be a Rebels style where it's like an hour long? You know, I can't believe
it's gotta be.
Yeah. I can't believe that they would wrap this up and just go, well, there was your 24 minutes of fun. We'll never see you again.
Right.
So
I can't wait to do the Bad Batch bingo leading up to this.
Absolutely.
Speculation is going to get out of control. Maybe we'll keep it under control, but probably not, because we're just so hopeful with an ending. We'll speculate about this just a little bit at the very end. What's next? Because, you know, Filoni's always thinking years ahead. He says as much every time, you know, something about a plan is brought up. So we'll see. We do know that, obviously, by these dates, it's dropping on Wednesdays. But are we going to do an evening release again? Or is this midnight? Have either of you heard anything about that?
I haven't, no.
Interesting.
I'm longing for the nostalgia, even though this is only 5 years at this point or so. I'm longing for the sitting down on my couch at midnight. I miss that.
Nick, incredibly rude of you. West Coast guys getting all the love. That was really hard for us, man. I'm waking up at 5 a.m. to watch this, know. You know?
That sounds fun too, though. Wake up or in the middle of the night and watch it. That sounds fun.
Yeah. There was something really awesome about that. And I do remember very fondly watching The Mandalorian at 4 a.m. Luke Skywalker is here. He's here. I'm
so
crying.
Buzzing, right? Like, how am I going to go to sleep right
this
now? Oh my
nuts.
God.
That was great. But I think looking at it from a holistic standpoint of saying, what is this show? What is this final season's purpose? Right. And I think in some ways, The Bad Batch has become we knew that it would become the extension of the Clone Wars for the animation team and for storytelling to keep this era kind of open, right? Because Andor has been in the same era. Yes, we know that, but it's explored a different part of Star Wars that kind of begs to be in its own little bubble, right? In some ways, I could never see Sid in Andor. I could never see the Havoc Marauder showing up and just being this amazing ship. And then, you know, Hunter gets off and looks over at, "Your name's Cassian Andor." You know, I just can't see it. You know what I mean? But there's something about where animation has to go for Star Wars from here, because it is such a dedicated fan base that I'm very curious. Tales of the Jedi are one-off little tales. They're little, you know, mini stories. I have to believe that there has to be some overarching story that's being developed right now that continues the legacy of Star Wars animation. I don't know what you guys think about that.
I don't doubt that these characters, some number of these characters, will pop up in other things. And I would be surprised if Filoni didn't already have the next thing in mind. But I just don't have any idea. I feel strongly that we're not going to kill them all off. That's all I can say.
Interesting.
Might lose a few, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a bingo card. Like, who's going to die, or perhaps maybe one of them will. I'm not sure. Mm. But yeah, I don't know. I could go either way with where animation is going, because canonically, I guess, timeline-wise, we would hit animation for the original trilogy, right? But mm-hmm. It kind of makes a little bit more sense with more of an open playing field to go into like some sort of enriching the sequels animation, I would say.
Yeah.
Right. I like that. I like that a lot.
I wouldn't be mad at it.
Well, I think we should probably talk about this trailer, because it dropped kind of out of nowhere. And I mean, Jennifer was kind of teasing it. She was like, "Oh, it sounds like you guys are really ready for a Bad Batch trailer." And everyone's like, "Yes, yes, give it to us." And she did. They did. They dropped it. And we collectively lost our Maloo runs over it. So yeah. let's talk about it.
I immediately felt this sense of purpose that I haven't felt in a few months.
I love that. I love that for you, Nick.
I felt the Force when I saw the trailer, because it had dropped, I think, 3 minutes before I had opened my phone. You know, I saw it on Instagram, and I was on the toilet. I watched the whole thing on the toilet. I cried tears of joy as poop was coming out of my butt.
Yeah, yeah. And that's how you know that this is a real podcast.
Poop of joy.
Poop of joy.
Adam's not shy, you guys. Patrons,
no.
That was for you.
Everybody poops. Read the book. Hey, everyone. We want to take a moment to tell you about the sponsor of this podcast, Roosevelt's.
You may know Roosevelt as the company who makes those rad all-over print button-downs with just about every franchise that you love.
They, of course, have Star Wars, because this is a Star Wars podcast, but they also have Harry Potter, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, NASA, WWE, The Office, Nickelodeon, Rick and Morty, Friends, all kinds of other stuff, including new lines from Yellowstone and The Godfather.
And not just button-downs, but t-shirts. They do shorts, jackets, hoodies, koozies, flannels, so many different kinds of items, so many dope designs. So if you're interested in picking something up for the first time, go to rsvlts.com and use promo code THANKTHEMAKER with no spaces to get 20% off your first purchase. Once again, that's rsvlts.com. Use promo code THANKTHEMAKER to get 20% off of your first purchase.
Okay, so the trailer opens with a chase sequence, not unlike the season 2 trailer. And it's not as extended as that trailer, but it is, you know, it's a chase. It's very Indiana Jones style. You know, it's one of those, I forgot what the vehicle's called, but it's a wheeled vehicle. It's not a train, but it's got that, you know, train heist kind of vibe.
It's the Juggernaut from Mandalorian. That's what it looked like.
Yes, yes. There you go. Fee is there helping them on the mission. We see a shot of a ship approaching Coruscant. We see a flashback of Tech falling to his death.
Oh,
thanks for that. That
don't
hurt.
Remind me.
We see one of the monasteries on the planet Teth from the Clone Wars 2008 feature film, where Asajj brought Jabba's little baby hut.
Right.
I forgot exactly what happens in the scene, but point being, we see that it almost looks like an updated render. Same shot. Somebody did a side by side on on Instagram is pretty tight.
Hopefully, shout out to Scott Zenteno over that. Always doing good work.
We see the return of Rex with some voiceover from him. He wants to keep fighting. He references Omega being captive of the Empire for a long time. I don't remember the exact line, but like she's been captive for too long or something like that. I forgot what it is.
Yeah, something along those lines.
Which is wild to wonder how long.
I've got to interrupt this for a second because, as always, Story of the Year's number one fan, Mike Cronin, shows up with a super chat and says, waiting for Mosh has me feeling more humble than Dikembe Mutombo after a stumble left him covered in a big pot of gumbo. Right. So thanks, let's go ahead and add that in there. So I want you guys to feel like that, okay? Dikembe Mutombo, where are we at in the trailer at this point?
Hey, shout out to Cronin. He gave me the Pop Star soundtrack on vinyl.
And it's, yes, that's amazing. Phenomenal.
It's one of the fake album covers from Connor for Real's career.
That's so good.
Called Thriller also. We then see Crosshair in an Imperial prison with Omega. It seems like they pass each other. Am I remembering that right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're kind of walking down the corridor.
She recognizes him, but he doesn't even look up.
We see Hemlock, the cloning scientist from Tantus, with a bunch of commandos behind him.
That guy gives me the creeps.
Hate him. Want to stab him.
Yep.
Palpatine with the Royal Guards and a ton of clone commandos. Maybe they're regular commandos at this point. Who knows who's in there? I mean, we still see a bunch of clones around as well, so it's hard to tell where all of this sits. But Palpatine has a really interesting quote. He says, "There is nothing of greater importance to secure the future of this empire. Whatever is needed to accomplish this goal, you will have it."
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So let's pause just for a second. What is he talking about?
Who's he talking to?
It's got to be himself, like cloning, right? Like he's wants me around forever, immortality.
Is he talking to Hemlock?
Oh, talking to? Yeah.
Or is he talking to Nala Se?
Mm-hmm. Could be.
She was in the trailer.
Yep.
I mean, is he talking about cloning specifically? Is he talking about just, you know, the mission to get Omega? Let's say she's broken out and then, you know, they're giving him the news that she's broken out. Hmm. And it's like, go get her. And it's just an implied implication. Or do you think he's on the nose saying this cloning shit is the most important thing?
Imperative to the final order.
Yeah, could be a little misdirection, right? But I mean, I want it to be him talking about cloning himself.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's something interesting, too. We see that kind of, it's a very obvious shot. They wanted us to see it, this kind of like unmarked trooper that kind of has like a badass, like they have like a new helmet and
the black one.
Yeah, but it's not like
CX1 is what the subtitle said.
Okay, so CX1 is, you know, like your CT number is clone trooper, right? So CX is specialist, right? And I think
or experimental.
Yeah, please help me out in the chat because we're
or sexy one.
True. We did not consider that. I think that.
You didn't even consider he might be sexy one.
Yeah.
Right.
Sexy clones are coming. That's what you want to know where the future of animation is going? Sexy clones.
Sexy clones.
It's a soft C. Nick breaks the code.
Yeah.
Everyone is Hauser.
Yes.
He takes off the helmet and just the hair just comes out and like doves fly behind it.
Dun,
yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. So I think if we had, I see that character and I'm like, immediately, are they resurrecting? Did they find tech? Did they get the sample from him that Omega has all this, you know, Omega has all their abilities in her? Did they get some of the source code from tech? Like all of it is in play, especially when we're talking about Palpatine's plan. Hemlock is obvious, you know, we have all of the pieces for cloning. The worst people are all in play here and they're all like, you know, swirling around here. So I feel like there's something about that trooper, whoever that is,
it's exciting. It's really exciting.
Just give us the show. And we have to talk about the other character that kind of threw us for a loop because did you also...
Well, hold on.
Hang on.
Pump we're getting the there. Brakes.
Okay.
Take it easy.
Did anyone else see...
And that's our show, I guess. We'll see you next week.
Did anyone else see the 187th? Did it look like there was a 187 Mace Windu's purple like trooper?
Oh.
No?
I did not notice that.
Okay. I could have been seeing things. but I watched that and I went, huh, that's an odd shade, but it could have been wrong. So,
oh, here's something I missed from the top of the notes here. One of the first shots is Hunter. It's definitely current because you see the blue on his shoulder pauldron.
Right.
There's, at bare minimum, someone wearing Crosshair's armor behind him.
Season one armor.
Yes. The original Bad Batch armor.
What does that mean? Is it Gregor? Is it Wolf undercover? Like, what is it? Who is it?
And if it is Crosshair, how does he get there?
Yeah. Speaking of Wolf, we see Wolf of mostly Rebels fame, right? Biggest, most important, I would say, right? You know what I mean? That's the time, his time as a clone that matters most to most people, I would say, right?
Right, right.
But at this point, he's still with the Empire, or it looks like it. He's with a commando, a few clones, and a TK.
Ooh, I like this. I like, so Tyler Bourbon and Buckets, Tyler Fountain, we'll see you at Mosh, buddy. Give you a wink right there. CX is the Bad Batch prefix, which makes sense because they're experimental. Yep, Clone Force 99, cool. So the fact that it said CX-1 is a they're all C.
Pretty sure they all had numbers, right?
But they're all 99, I thought, right?
Okay, here we go, Wikipedia.
Oh, I vaguely remember them being numbered.
Okay, so if they have those numbers, there's something about CX-1 that maybe it's like, it's like Xbox, right? After you've leveled up, you just go back to 1, right? So maybe this is the new CX. I have no idea. Then Kevin Doom, because I think Kevin Doom is in here, he asks, was that Commander Cody's voice?
Technically, yes.
Yeah.
Technically, absolutely. Technically, that was Hunter's voice. That was that was also...
Yeah, so Zach is saying in Discord, the numbers are all 9901. So it's not CX, like 9901, 9902. Yep. So,
All right.
It's interesting.
Yeah. Well, to be determined, to be seen.
Okay. A
few more appearances. Mike, you said Nala Say, Fennec Shand, Cad Bane.
Oh, yeah. Love it.
Cad Bane.
Big one. We see a shot of Hunter on Pabu.
Yep.
Looks like he's just chilling, but then there's also a shot, like a big wide shot of an Imperial invasion of what looks like Pabu.
That's going to suck. We love Pabu.
It's not going to be great.
We love that.
There's a shot of Omega piloting a shuttle. There's a quote, great quote. It's a spin on, or is it the same quote? Since when do we follow orders? Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Which was
Rex or Hunter says it. That was,
that one of Tech's last lines
for sure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
If not his last line.
And then the big one, the big character reveal, the goosebump moment, Asajj Ventress.
Ooh.
Presumed dead. Asajj Ventress.
Well, well,
somehow.
Until this point, somehow Asajj returned. So here's the thing. Hair. She's got a little swoop. Mm-hmm. She has a yellow lightsaber, reminiscent of the unmade Clone Wars episode, right? As well as the Dark Disciple novel that Mike's holding up right there, in which she dies. Everyone's freaking out about it, but Brad Rao, supervising director, one of the executive producers of the series, said on StarWars.com, quote, "We do want to let fans know that any new storytelling with Ventress will align with the events of Star Wars Dark Disciple." So.
What does the word align mean? Like nothing in that book changes, or like as if that might be a flashback that somehow the Bad Batch is involved in? Is that a line, or does a line mean all of that happened and she's still alive? Because there's two ways, I guess, you could consider, you could bring her back from the dead, sort of. And I've only heard people talk about one so far.
So hear me out. At 1:34 of the trailer, YouTube, Discord, tell me that trooper that shows up there and pulls that blaster off his back, tell me that's not Mace Windu's crew.
Yeah.
Bring it up.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it from Discord.
Come on.
I would say a line, while they're figuring that out, I would say a line just means that they're not going to break canon. That they're going to assume work as if what's on the page is canon. And even if they bring her back from the dead somehow with some magics, what happened happened.
Or, well, people are talking about that because she's a Night Sister, but we're also in a show of clones and cloning. Like, why couldn't that be a clone?
Oh, interesting.
I haven't seen anyone mention that.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, say that again, Nick.
Why couldn't that be a clone of Asajj?
Well, I mean, here's the other thing. Look at her outfit.
It does look a lot like.
Take a look at those cool little shoulder logos.
Let me see this. Where do we see this?
I'm pretty sure she's got the clone program marking on her shoulder.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see it. Where do I see this?
Have you ever watched the trailer? Unbelievable.
Have you seen Star Wars?
Oh, look at that. It looks like.
Mike, share the screen.
Looks like.
What do you got here?
Let's see. We're at 149.
149. Finding it, doing it.
I mean, it's very sweet. So I don't know. Oh, sorry. It was Krista D. Oh, Krista D was the one who gave a shout out about Commander Cody's voice, which I love that. I think all of this, everything is in play. I think being how Asajj dies in Dark Disciple, I'm not going to give it away because it's a fantastic book. You should absolutely read it. I think we have already seen Quinlan Voss in animation. I think it makes sense that we could bring him back. I think that even if they were to do almost like a retelling or an animated version of parts of Dark Disciple in the story so that people can see what happened if they don't want to read the book. I'm game for that too. It's an amazing book. So I think that's awesome. And of course everyone immediately is like, oh, they love to destroy canon. It's very clearly at this point that Star Wars also does love its authors and who write amazing stories. But I do think I'm one of those people who's like, Asajj Ventress is such a great character. To have her killed off in a book is tough. It's tough for me. I won't lie, you know, especially when the bread and butter of Star Wars is visual media. That's why everything about it's awesome. The writing is fantastic. It's a great book. You should read it. But, you know, I think for people to feel the weight of her character.
We want to see it. We want to see it.
That's what I'm going to say.
There we go.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
That's that. Do you think that's the clone emblem?
What is that?
You're talking about like the IL looking things? That doesn't look like that to me.
Man, this is great. We're doing this live. People are figuring this out.
Doing it live.
Yeah, it's a snake on her pauldron. I think she has an Ahsoka's trial arc.
Oh, it's in the new Rockstar's thumbnail, actually.
And?
It is a snake for sure.
Okay.
It's like dangling, going around in a spiral.
Okay, so what is that? What is that? Where is that snake from? It's not cloning. Okay, I take it back. I'm sorry. I'll leave the podcast forever. Is a snake? Is it
Cobra Kai?
Nice.
It's a crossover.
Say it, Mike. Say it, Mike. Is it Morley?
Yeah. Okay. So it's they're right. So someone said that they had in the episode where Asajj and Ahsoka kind of have their episodes together. It's her same logo on there. Yeah. It's the same. Mm. It's the same pauldron as that. So that's a nice little. That's a nice little cut right there. I like that. Okay, so it's the same pauldron. So yeah, so this is during her. That's interesting though. They went back to this bounty hunter outfit. Okay. I mean, hey, it's all in play. It's all in play.
So when is this bounty hunter outfit from that you're talking about?
What are you talking about?
You're saying they went back to this bounty hunter outfit? When did this happen?
Well, if you remember in the Ahsoka and Ventress. When Ahsoka and Ventress have to work together in the Clone Wars.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And
that's what I'm looking at a picture of that where she's got her bounty hunter mask that she wears. It's the same pauldron. And it's interesting. I think bringing her back is very cool.
Wait a minute. When does the book happen? When does Dark Disciple happen, timeline-wise?
Clone Wars?
Yeah, because it's leftover Clone Wars unfinished story arcs.
Right.
Dark Disciple.
Trying to think of where they put it. Let me see if it has.
So this could be just like some Ahsoka stuff was.
Dark Disciple is after Attack of the Clones and it's before Revenge of the Sith.
Huh. So when the hell does season 7 take place relative to that? When she's working with Ahsoka?
That was where Ahsoka gets framed and she has to work in the.
Oh, sorry. That was 5. Sorry. Not 7.
Right.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think it's Morley, Darth Maul's friend?
Oh,
that's
wow.
A snake.
What the hell is Morley?
You don't remember Morley?
Oh, down in the
pit,
the scrap heap.
Yeah.
When he was living that Andy Dwyer life.
So, from the Clone Wars actual art episode, it says, "I love when they do this." So it looks like Chris Glenn was the artist for it. This is 11/29/10 when this was published here. Ventress Bounty Hunter, episode 412. Ventress Bounty Hunter has the pauldron with the snake on it. It's the black twisted snake. So they brought that through. That's pretty, it's pretty rad. I'm liking this here.
What does it mean?
But she didn't have hair in any of that.
No.
She was still bald through all of that. So is she just she just opened up the Rubbermaid tub underneath her staircase with all of her other trinkets from her youth and said, "I'm gonna wear this again."
My gosh.
All right, let's wrap this up. Let's not go too far down the rabbit hole. I need to edit this thing tonight.
True.
I have to play some shows still.
Okay.
We could talk about what we think is next, but I think we're all stumped. We'll think about that maybe when we do our
bingo
episode. We'll get into that. And of course, at the end of, after the finale, we'll definitely have that topic on our mind.
See who won.
Everybody, thanks for listening and watching. Like we said earlier, Mos Eisley is a mere week and a half away.
Yep.
MosEisley.com. It's where you go to get tickets for that. It is the Saturday of MegaCon in Orlando. It's at a place called Sun on the Beach in Kissimmee, right down the road. It's going to be a good time. We're planning some really fun stuff. Stoked on it. I don't know what else to say other than my butt hurts, and I'm glad to get out of this chair in just a moment.
Pay attention to Bayside social media. Stuff's happening.
And
stuff's happening.
Go see Story of the Year in Chicago on Friday.
Do it if you want. If you don't, that's fine too.
All right.
Until next time, may the Force be with you.
If you enjoy Thank the Maker, you can support us by following and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Or you can support us directly at patreon.com/thankthemakerpod. where you can get access to our Discord server, exclusive content, exclusive merch, our recording live stream, and more. Our patrons quite literally make Thank the Maker possible.